Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for The Performance Difference. The Performance Difference, featuring leading executives and HR professionals, focusing on recruiting, retaining, and improving employees. Now here's your host, Lori Genevieve.
Well, good morning, everyone, and I hope everyone had a fabulous weekend here. I know personally I had a crazy weekend with children activities and such, and today I have two guests. We're going to talk about the contingent workforce, and I have both Carolyn O'Brien and Tom Followill with Tag Team Interim Experts. Hello, everyone. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you guys have a great weekend?
Yeah, I had a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, good. Carolyn?
Yeah, I did. I run a 501c3 on the side, so we were able to three dogs, and we were able to deliver them to their new homes, and all are doing great. That's a really terrific weekend.
So. Oh, that's great. Yeah. How fabulous. Well, you know, we've talked before, you know, Tom and I, about this concept of a contingent workforce. I actually met Tom at a conference a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And what is a contingent workforce?
The contingent workforce, it's a term that's probably gone through some metamorphosis over time. Used to, people would refer to it as temporary or staffing or something to that effect. And that term is still typically used, but more often with either a less specific industry or less specific discipline of work, maybe at a lower level of skill set. The contingent workforce is really assigned more often now to a workforce that may be brought in as just in time or for specific expertise as needed, or just in time, like you hear the term used, and centers around typically a higher skill set or more defined skill set for a particular need for a particular time.
Right. And Carolyn, that's what your company does, right? Tell us a little bit more about Tag Team.
We do. We leverage the contingent workforce, which I refer to as, you know, free agents, if you will, those who have left typically the corporate world for one reason or another. But we place what we've trademarked as temporary, as interim marketing experts, IMEs, mm-hmm. to companies who are looking to expertly augment their workforce because they need a specialized skill, capability, or knowledge. Or we basically put marketers in to pinch hit in situations where their work stream is more than what their current capacity can handle. So we place interim marketing experts in those situations.
Mm-hmm. And what are some trends you're seeing? Is there a rise in the building of the contingent workforce?
Most definitely. We are seeing a lot of influx of those that would like to be in our database of interim marketing experts. And, of course, we vet those out pretty carefully because we're very fussy, I am in particular, about who goes in the database. Yes, significant rise in the number of quote-unquote free agents looking for contract work because economic climate, but also you're seeing a sort of a societal shift of those that basically do not want to work a 90-hour work week. They want some freedom and they want some flexibility. Mm-hmm. So you've got sort of this, those who are bridging time, maybe they've gotten laid off in the economy. Mm-hmm. So they are doing contract work before they find another permanent position. And then, of course, you have those that just particularly enjoy the nature of fresh projects.
Right, right.
And Laurie, that to that second point that Carolyn made, that's really what we're seeing is a growing phenomenon of what a lot of people refer to as work-life balance. Mm-hmm. The traditional 9-to-5 is not something as commonly believed in by the younger workforce. And I believe the baby boomer workforce, roughly one-third of the working population, is exiting now, mm-hmm. and will be for the next 8 to 10 years, the workforce. But what you're seeing is a greater trend from the employee side of that look for work-life balance. People don't work the traditional 9-to-5 nearly as often as they used to. They work from home because of technology. They have the ability. There's just a different environment now that flows through even traditional companies. We see a transformation taking place. Mm-hmm. The flip side of the growth of the contingent workforce, of course, not just coming from the employee side, is the employment side. which is we've seen a longing for or a better way to supplement or augment their staff in more of, as we said earlier, just-in-time basis as needed, or when there's a specific skill set or diversity of thought need to be brought in for a particular amount of time. Mm-hmm. Likewise, the economic environment has impacted the companies as well. Headcount is extremely important these days,
right,
and how they regulate that. And so the growth has really kind of come from two directions, I think, both mm-hmm. the employee and the employer side.
Well, and me personally, I'm part of that contingent workforce. You know, I do coaching assessments, developing e-learning programs, and I used to be part of that corporate world. And, you know, with kids and all that, and tired of, I used to have an hour one-way commute all the time. You know, I so get that. In fact, I saw an article last week that said people are happier. They'd rather be like a consultant or contingent workforce versus they have less stress than those that have to do the commute and the 9-to-5 and all that. And I so get that, you know, while as a contingent workforce, you know, do you always have a steady income? No, maybe not. Or do you have to pay your insurance? Yes. But it's the stress of the traffic and everything else. Is that what, well, obviously you're seeing as well?
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, when you become a free agent or part of the contingent workforce, and there are risks and there are rewards, and the reward is such, to your point, that you have a tremendous amount of work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Studies have shown that when you give people a little bit of freedom and some work-life balance, the productivity side is increasingly better. You know, the risks, to your point, are you do have to find insurance. A lot of our contingent workforces are married to those in jobs where they have insurance. But at the end of the day, if you're not, you do have to pay your own insurance and, you know, find your own ways to create a 401k and mm-hmm. Do all of those savings mechanisms that sometimes come very easily when you're in that 9-to-5 corporate job.
Right, right. Also, too, do you think from the employer standpoint with the whole about medical insurance and the legislation, do you find more and more companies are moving to a contingent workforce for those reasons as well?
I think you'll definitely see that, and particularly in smaller companies or mid-sized companies, where there is a definite threshold as to if you are this size, you are, you know, under law mandated to participate. So you will see that. In fact, I think it's already being anticipated by the government so much that they are considering additional legislation, saying these are ways you're not allowed to, you know, to skid around the loophole, you know, around those numbers. So it'll be interesting to see the developments, I think, over the next few years. But our business, as well as a number of others, you know, are anticipating that there will be a continued growth. I think there's a study done recently that says that by 2020, over 40% of the U.S. workforce will be contingent.
Wow. In all industries or any particular?
Across industry.
Wow.
In general. But certainly it's already proven out, I think, very true in engineering. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of contingent workforce in the engineering field, and we see it in technology. Our particular focus is in the marketing area, and we are continuing to see the growth of that niche as well.
Well, I definitely can see that, because being in a field, you know, again, sort of like mine, you need to be creative as well in the marketing, and you need fresh ideas and things to stay ahead of the market, right?
No, you're absolutely right. We're full of fresh thinking, and we pride ourselves on that and delivering that to our clients. So that's a huge benefit for them.
Exactly, exactly. What are some, from the employer side, what are some risks in or things they need to consider in regards to building moving forward to a contingent workforce?
I'm a big believer in a hybrid workforce. So I do believe that employers need to have those special individuals to really move their objectives and strategies and missions forward. I believe the contingent workforce can certainly be a part of that, but as a consistent and contiguous mechanism, you need someone to manage and make sure that is being beheld to. The contingent workforce works really well when we come an adjunct to that team to move those objectives and meet those objectives with whatever executional elements that require in order to meet those missions. So I don't believe that all companies should have a full contingent workforce. I believe there's a really healthy balance of that hybrid workforce of full-time and contingent.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen companies do what? Are there particular roles that you think would not maybe be a part of contingent workforce? And what made me think of this is I know of one company that said their IT folks will never be contingent because if something breaks, you have a system you have to be at.
Mm. That you make a very good point, and I don't know.
I think there's certain. I mean, I would never generalize by any specific discipline, but I would say within that specific roles, it may be extremely important to a certain situation, particularly technology, where you've got to have 99.9999% on air, like a cloud technology, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at some of the most intricate jobs out there, surgeons, their locum tenens. Those are temporary or contingent workforce in one of the most highly skilled and highly trained areas of our lives.
Right.
So I don't believe there's any one thing that or one role that this doesn't have a fit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it would all depend on the specifics of the role itself.
Right. What are some other things a company would need to consider in determining starting a – would it be good maybe to start – if you have a small business, start with a contingent workforce and then see or –
Yeah, I think, again, it's going to vary across industries. So, for example, we do a lot of work for agencies, mm-hmm. and those agencies, in turn, do a lot of work for Fortune 1000 companies. And obviously, so goes their business, right?
Right.
So goes their workforce, whether you're full-time or a contingent. So we pride ourselves in being able to mitigate any disruptions in work streams whenever, someone leaves on their own recognizance or there is a headcount reduction, and you've got to meet your clients' needs. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Well, no, and I think, the fear sometimes is, well, this person won't be able to get up to speed. And that may be true if you're hiring someone brand new or in a role where they're coming directly from another company from a long stint. But what's advantageous, I think, about our workforce that we see, the contingent workforce, is that this person may have done the exact same role four or five times in their previous roles and walk in with a wealth of experience and know how to hit the ground running immediately, so the ramp-up time is virtually eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows them to keep the momentum that other companies would typically suffer when they lose an employee or when a new job is created and they haven't quite figured out how the role is going to develop. Someone in the contingent workforce or from the contingent workforce who does this, again and again. The other thing I think I would say is that people tend to think, because of the term contingent or temporary, that has a certain limited time frame. We have people on with clients who have been there, 18 months to 2 years sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's another thing to consider. Someone says, oh, well, I can't have somebody just in here for a couple of weeks and then they leave again and they leave this everything on the floor and we have to start all over.
Right.
That's really not the case. And that's one of when someone mentions the risk, we're typically able to answer that pretty quickly, that's really probably a unrealized fear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's all about just auditing your current workforce. And if you're a small company, right?
Right.
Who do you have that can do X? And where do you need to plug, Y and Z?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're those plug and play folks.
Right.
The other thing I would say is when you do partner with those of us who do provide some experts in whatever area you need.
Right.
Just make sure they do have really good references and, they have the appropriate amount of insurance to be doing business in their field, for sure.
Actually, that's going to be my next lead-on question is, how does recruiting differ when you're hiring for a contingent workforce versus regular employee, full-time employees?
From our perspective, when we get a request from a client, obviously the onus for recruiting the appropriate person is on us. We maintain a very large database of excellent marketers. So we kind of know in our database, based on the skills, capabilities, and knowledge that has been requested, those who would be appropriate for the position.
Mm-hmm.
So our database is already a presupposed recruiting tool. in 7 years, I really have to say, of having the business, we've never had to recruit. All of our marketers in our database who have made it into the database have been referred either by clients and or other interim marketing experts. Tom comes from the permanent recruiting realm. He might be able to answer a little bit more.
Well, I think in this case, I mean, a database is not a, I mean, it's very fluid. So we certainly are getting referrals at all times from our connections. And the marketing world in general tends to, many of them tend to know each other,
right,
or have experience working with each other in various disciplines and various areas. So we do certainly have a vetting process that we would put any individual through before sending them out to a trusted client. But from the perspective of referencing and so forth, that's every bit as important as it would be in the permanent search world,
right?
Which is my previous life. So it's every bit as important to us, and we want to make sure, you know, always it's not just from a skill set, but a personality, a cultural fit as well. That's important.
All of those in our database have been fully vetted, references checked, and we always do drug tests and background checks as well prior to sending any interim expert to a client site.
Right.
Yeah.
And do, because I know in my field, you know, sometimes you have clients that want to interview the person, some that, you know, don't. Do you find that as well in your business?
Absolutely. We typically provide 3 to 4 candidates and really recommend and highly encourage the client to interview across all 3 or 4, because, you know, you can talk around it, but you're going to be working with this person, you know, pretty intricately for a certain amount of time. The fit's got to be there. And so not only does the, you know, skill and experience, is that important, but that cultural fit is also very critical.
Right. And how do you, the cultural fit, you know, because they are going to be there anywhere from, you know, 3 months to 2 years, depending.
Right.
How do you quickly ascertain that they're going to be a cultural fit?
Well, do you want to answer that?
Well, I was going to say, I think, first of all, it's a really good idea for us to spend time with our clients.
Right.
Walk the halls to understand the those invested in the situation that are going to play a role, a part of, you know, the success of the role itself. That's true in any recruiting. If you're, I think, you're doing your job well, is spending some time understanding that and asking the right questions. And likewise, then taking those same questions and asking them of your employees or of your contract employees to understand that. And then it just comes, I think, with time. Understanding, okay, typically this fits and this doesn't, and we want to know that. So we try to do a case history of what's been successful with you in the past, what hasn't worked so well.
Yeah, and we typically know the culture of our clients. If you're a new client, like Tom said, we will spend some time with you to kind of acclimate to how you work so that we can make sure that, you know, we don't put someone who only really has worked in a Fortune 500 environment into a really tiny environment where they may not necessarily know the ways of that particular company. So
right,
we assess cultural fit prior to going in, but then that secondary kind of evaluation is on the client.
Right. What culturally, how do you think the differences are from a smaller to mid-sized company to a larger company? What are some of the cultural differences, do you think?
You're definitely going to wear a lot more hats in a smaller company,
right,
and be expected to. And so that diversity of experience would be something we would look for in our marketers or in your contingent workforce, depending on what discipline you're working in.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be looking for that, someone who doesn't need a manual to go through step by step how to deliver a certain marketing deliverable or a, you know, whatever, engineering, whatever it may be. That's important. The larger company, then certainly there's typically a lot more politics going on and other things that the person may need to be able to navigate as well. And if they have experience doing that and have been in that environment before, then they understand how to navigate through those waters.
Right. The person who is a contingent person, other than a resume, what kinds of things should they have to help sell themselves, do you think?
You should definitely learn how, I mean, if you're going to put yourself into a niched area, you definitely better be able to brand yourself and build your own brand. We're going to see that in any discipline, not just marketing.
Right.
So that you really clearly can articulate in a few sentences who you are, what is this animal and what does it do? And I think working more and more to develop your niche expertise, how to sell yourself, will be extremely important, because there are particularly, you're not only going up against potentially permanent type applicants.
Right.
But how are you going to separate yourself from the other 200 applicants for a job? The contingent workforce, though, overall gets it, I think. And so they understand that they're going up against potentially other individuals as well. And so they better know how to brand themselves very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would highly recommend that to anyone, considering that.
Right. And I remember when I first came out, brand myself. What does that mean? So when you say brand yourself, Carolyn, what does that mean? What should you have a lead-in sentence about what you do? And
absolutely. So you need to be able to distinguish yourself pretty much off the bat. I've had some very interesting ways people have asked to be in our database and get interviewed to be in our database.
Okay, you got to tell some stories.
I do. I accept flowers, candy. Branding is just like a product. It's you, and there's got to be those leverageable differences that you have and maintain, and be able to express those from some experiences that you've had across clients. It's funny you say that, because we have those marketers who are really, really broad. They can do anything from strategy to execution and anything in between. And then we have those very specific marketers, let's call them digital, if you will, because
right.
We're getting so many more requests for very specific digital and social expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And so, these broad marketers who can do a little bit of digital expertise.
Right.
I think all of that's great, but ultimately, I need to know where your sweet spot is,
mm-hmm.
right? So where's your leverageable, difference? Where are you, where are your distinctive markings against other marketers that I know if I put you in an interview, you're going to nail that?
I think being able to answer the question, how are you more qualified to do this job than all the others? That's your value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to, clearly state, this is exactly why I'm the right person, what experience I'm bringing, and what we expect the outcome to be as a result of doing that.
Yeah. Right. I think the other thing I tell people is make sure you don't just give what you've done and for whom and a bunch of bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
Give the result of what you did. Always, always, always give some measurement of how you were able to move the business forward.
Right. And you particularly, not the team. Like
correct.
If you're part of a team, well, the team, we did this.
Right, exactly. Make sure you distinguish your role in that particular project,
mm-hmm.
and show what you were able to do from a sheer measurement objective perspective.
And I think you need to know exactly what's going on. What are the hot areas, the hot topics in your particular industry? You better be up to speed on all of that and be able to speak to it.
Right.
So really coming out of the gate, looking like you are the one answer, to what they're looking for, with all the information that's out there right now, staying on top of social media, staying on top, as Carolyn referred to, as kind of the digital information that's out there, can be, I think, extremely helpful in selling yourself, separating yourself from the others.
Well, so I think, Tom, you and I talked about the other day how training changes, because really the training becomes more onus on the contingent person versus the employer, right?
Exactly, yes.
And in keeping up with periodicals and, to Tom's point, internet and all those different types of things.
We get a lot of questions. I'm not on a project. What do I do? And I said, doesn't matter. Go volunteer.
Right.
Do something, right, to bridge until you can get the next project, to show folks that you have that proactive nature to go get experience and make a difference even in that volunteer environment.
That's a great point. Hadn't thought about that. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Always be learning.
Always be
exactly.
learning.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Do you find in companies, and I say this just because of my background, there's always the company, when you go into a company, you learn the company policies and you do learn about some of the culture, products and all that. In your industry, especially marketing, do employers still need to provide that kind of training? Or I guess they could provide pamphlets or maybe online training even.
Yeah, I would say that the training has evolved to baptism by fire.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a whole lot of traditional, you know, I guess collateral, if you will, that's given.
Right.
Typically, we get sort of a project description of what this particular resource will be working on. And really, they're expected to get up to speed pretty darn quickly. Mm-hmm. So, again, the onus is back on that interim expert or the contingent worker to go talk to the right people involved in the project, figure out who's doing what, where, the roles, the responsibilities, mm-hmm. so that you know your, you know, the overall project, but you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing within the context of that project. So,
right.
Learning has really changed, and when you are a free agent or a contingent worker, mm-hmm. you do have more of the responsibility.
Right.
And I think that's one of the significant advantages people are looking to us to provide, which is to be able to bypass a long training curve. Or an educational curve. Although we do have a rather large Fortune 5 type client that they all recommend anyone walking in to work in that company in any place read a particular book. Mm-hmm. You know, that they say, hey, this is a book that will absolutely describe our overall philosophy that will be extremely helpful to letting someone understand how we think and how we operate.
Oh, that's good.
So there are still, you know, situations like that we would highly recommend anyone walking in the door follow this particular.
It's not like War and Peace, is it?
No.
It's shorter, we promise. At least they told us it was.
No, I read it. It's good.
Oh, that's great. So what other statistics or research are you seeing out there that supports the building the contingent workforce?
Well, I think again, as I said, overall we know in a bigger picture that we're losing a lot of the traditional trained workforce, mm-hmm. the baby boomers, the largest proportion of the American population. I think as of 2010, they represented over 50%. Mm-hmm. With that, you know, exiting, and granted it's a long stretch of a generation, we're going to see a multitude of openings stay open longer. Coupled with the financial decision to jump off the cliff and hire someone on a permanent basis, there's a lot of reticence to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then coupled again from the employee side of a growing phenomenon of work-life balance need, or no, there's no way I'm going to go work in a suit every day in the office. Just those three major kind of overall indicators alone. There are 100 others that are smaller that would fit within that, I think, demonstrates that. The contingent workforce has grown in Europe already significantly. I mean, it's much larger in Europe overall and has been for quite some time. And that's where a lot of the temporary staffing companies and philosophies came from eventually.
Interesting.
Ronstadt, I believe you're probably familiar with this one. It's a Dutch company. Was founded, I think, 45 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come to the U.S., I think, here to Atlanta, actually, until the mid-90s.
Hmm.
But same type of idea, and that was at a different skill set and different skill level. But there's definitely a movement that will continue that way. And I think as a result, we referenced not having insurance and things like that. You were going to see other companies and other businesses grow out of this phenomenon as well. There will be ways probably to pool insurance for independent contractors. I know there's some people that have already worked in that area.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So you'll see things that will answer to any of the perceived gaps that are, you know, occurring as a result of this.
Right.
I think you will see other things grow out of it that will continue to actually support it and help it to continue to flourish.
Well, that's actually something that just popped in my head. You know, when you, again, in the traditional workforce, you think, well, what are the benefits other than insurance? Maybe it's so many days off. So it's going to be interesting since a contingent workforce is building, it's like what kind of benefits insurance or whether, you know, maybe get to a point where the contingent person is on the hot market.
Right. And I think you'll also, to your point, where insurance, you spoke about insurance, there's probably some financial companies that will create new plans for either pooling mm-hmm. a few of the contingent workforces together to be able to create your 401ks in a better or different situation than you currently can on your own solo now.
Mm.
So I think, yeah, there's a lot of impacts on different businesses that the increase in contingent workforce will have. Going back to your original question, I mean, I just look at the general trend of any company has been do more with less. Right. They got less budget, but the work hasn't changed, mm-hmm. right? They still have to bring in their objectives. They still have to plan for the following year. So they're being made to do a lot more with a lot less. So they will pinch hit with a contingent worker to go ahead and help them bring in those objectives so they can focus on, you know, what they need to focus on. The contingent worker can pinch hit as needed. But that trend is just going to continue. That's not going to go away for sure.
Right.
And we've seen it, you know, in the demand for our interim experts, particularly this year has been a great year, just in January and the 1st of February with requests, again, mm-hmm. for that very reason.
Well, speed of delivery is important across the board, whether it be technology, whether it be
right.
Data, whether it be employees, everything. And so speed of delivery is just more and more. I mean, we get more done now in days than we would have in a week, you know,
mm-hmm.
40 years ago.
Right.
So it's going to, I mean, it's transcending across all types of business, including employment, which is, yes, I can't wait 6 months to hire an expert or hope I groom an expert in this area. I need someone, you know, next week.
That can jump in
and
do it.
Who can start Monday and deliver.
Right, right. You know, also, too, I was curious, and the reason why I brought this up is actually I, you know, got asked if I wanted to be part of a contract, but it was going to require me to work in downtown Atlanta every day. And they're like, oh, you can take the Metro. And I'm like, yeah, no. That's why I do what I do, so I don't have to do that.
Think about that for a half a second.
No. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the questions we ask when talking to a client is, will this person have the opportunity to work right. from home at times?
Right.
Is that, you know, is that part of the way you envision it? And many will say, well, I'd like them here for the first couple of months.
Right.
To get up to speed if that's necessary and to get acclimated. But after that, we don't have a problem with it.
Oh, that's good. How does the global aspect work with this? When we say contingent workforce, we're not just really, it's the entire world could be the contingency, right?
No, absolutely. I think that's what I was referencing earlier is mm-hmm. it's already proven out and grown significantly in Europe. And mm-hmm. I think you'll continue to see that. And I think you'll continue to see as we become overall more global in our operations, most of the major corporations now have a very large global footprint.
Right.
And they're going to take whatever the best practice is and deliver it, you know, depending on whether us taking a practice and taking it overseas or bringing one from overseas back to here, if it's a practice that works and it's going to ultimately create value for the shareholders, they're going to do it.
Right. Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought the point. I recently saw where it was a job where, and normally you think it's the, you know, people from Europe or other companies doing U.S. work, but I've actually seen where it's been the opposite. They wanted U.S. workers for jobs in Europe.
Yeah. We actually have a few folks that work for a large company here in Atlanta, and they do a lot of work for their global portion of their business,
mm-hmm.
But they happen to do it from Atlanta, but it's definitely for that global portion, and they had to be bilingual and things like that, so mm-hmm. it's becoming an interesting trend, for sure.
Exactly. What else from a business standpoint in building a contingent workforce that we haven't hit on that you think people need to consider, either the benefits or the potential challenges?
I mean, obviously, I'm a little biased, but I believe the benefits far outweigh, you know, any of the risks for sure. Again, the risks we've talked about, just make sure you're dealing with a reputable firm
mm-hmm.
with appropriate, you know, insurance and really qualified candidates. And we have prided ourselves on almost 8 years of business having the best interim marketing workforce available. Period.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I think the other thing, we run about a 98% extension rate, which speaks to the value that our interim experts provide our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel so good about that because that really is where we know we've been able to add A, incredible value, but B, really help them move their business objectives forward. And that's so important to us. We want to make their business better. We want to make their revenues higher. We want to do something that drives business improvement. And we hopefully have been able to do that and will continue to. But benefits far outweigh the risks, I believe.
Right. I mean, to your point, talking about 2 years, I know people who've been with a company on a contingent basis for like 4 or 5 years because they
right.
just get put on new projects.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. We call it keep getting extended. That's a good thing.
So I think you've touched on a little bit. So if a company is looking for your particular expertise, it's marketing and marketing area, what other areas?
Right. We focus on marketing, period. Now, marketing has a broad definition and runs the spectrum anywhere from big strategic thinking, where we've been able to create really big strategic plans, to rebranding efforts. We've done a ton of rebranding and corporate identity.
New product rollouts.
We do design. We do anything that's related to digital and social marketing. And again, we take the 360 view of marketing and marketing efforts from, we can actually buy your media. We can create your media plans. Mm. But anything in that marketing mix, we've done pricing strategies. We've done SKU optimization projects. So we can certainly do anything along the marketing gamut, but we really are marketing.
Right.
So we're not your go-to for your operations person or your finance person, but
right.
we know marketing and we're passionate about it and we believe we do it the best.
Right. And so if a customer, potential client calls you and you work with them to identify the needs specifically
Absolutely.
And such, or tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, obviously we get called whenever there's work exceeds their capacity to do it.
Right.
Or they need a specialized skill, capability, knowledge, or experience base. So obviously we probe on that. We probe precisely, you know, what is this person's role? What is this person's objective? What is the term of the contract? You know, how many hours a week is it going to take? So we make sure to match up the right person or people for them to interview to the opportunity. So we make sure we're pretty pinpointed in what the requirement is before we recommend some folks.
And what are your expected outcomes? You know, what are you expecting to get out of this? Because that helps us really understand as well the level that they really need or really are talking about.
Right. What does success look like?
Exactly.
Is it A, B, and C, or is it just B and C?
Exactly. Yeah.
What about you all focus on marketing. What about if there's people listening out there that are in different industries? How do they go about finding someone like you all? Just in maybe in a different industry. I mean, like I know Train Development, there's, you know, several different organizations like Training Pros and such. And
we belong to a lot of marketing organizations, but we also maintain a significant number of strategic alliances. So if someone needs a technology person, we have a company or two that we typically refer. Same thing with human resource specifically. They might need a human resource interim person. We have a human resource company that we work with that provides interim experts. So we use a lot of our strategic alliance partners to refer.
Great. So that's good to know.
Yeah. Yes, we would refer you.
There you go. Well, great. Well, is there anything in that point you want to make out about the contingent workforce or such as we wrap up here?
Well, I think in closing, people say, okay, when does it make sense? A company says, when does it make sense? Certainly when your budget doesn't allow for, or you haven't been able to figure out how to hire a full-time scenario.
Mm-hmm.
When you need fresh thinking or diversity of thought immediately. When there's a temporary gap created with a loss of an employee for whatever reason.
Right.
When there's a project that requires maybe just additional marketing resources, just horsepower. We've got to deliver this by a certain date for our client, or for our brand rollout has to be done by a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when you don't have a formal, you know, for a smaller company, you don't have a formal marketing team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we know we need to get our message out before we can go forward. You know, mm-hmm. even as small as a venture startup mm-hmm. that needs to be able to create a presence so that they can go out and earn their first or you know, generate their first level of investment.
Right.
All the way up through the second level of investment where we need to have a formal marketing presence
mm-hmm.
Through the third level where, okay, now we're going to roll it out to the public or to other businesses. Whatever it may be.
Right.
So truly understanding when, you know, helping companies understand when they can use this. And from the employee side, the thing I would say is learn how to clearly articulate why you're going to stand out versus the others
mm-hmm.
and be able to create your own personal brand, your value-added proposition.
Right. And you have people who could even help out with that. You know, if you have
sure.
a contingent person,
Absolutely.
Sit down with a marketing person to say,
Absolutely.
Help me come up with my brand. And
That's right. Yeah.
LinkedIn profile. Like you and I talk about headshots even. You mm-hmm. can help you know, small business owners with that type of stuff as well.
We've got a pretty significant network now.
Yeah.
Don't tell them we can do that. I need a new one. Marketing.
I'm better pictureless.
Like you said, we're dressed for radio today.
That's right.
It's a good thing. I'm having my hair day on this rainy day.
Exactly. Well, good. Well, this has been great. Actually, I would love to bring you back sometime, maybe even with one of your clients that
sure.
moved
great.
From a contingent workforce to talk about how they've seen the impact and how it's helped their grow their business. Because I easily can see that you can get more done.
Yes, I think that would be great to bring a couple of clients in who have used interim experts in whatever industry.
Right.
But that's a great perspective from which to get an opinion and some thoughts.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Great. Well, in the meantime, Carolyn, what's the best way of someone getting in reach with you, either if it's a potential client or even someone looking for contingent type work?
Sure. They can go to our website, www.tagteaminc.com.
Great.
Or they can, and all of our emails are on there, and there's a phone number as well to the office, 770-552-6960.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you both for coming in. I love, you know, of course, I love talking about all these types of things.
Well, thanks for your interest.
You are great.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah.
And
thank you,
as always, the web will have a dedicated radio show page for this and a link to this podcast on Performance Difference Radio on Atlanta Business Radio. Also, it will be in the next couple of days on iTunes as well. We are posted in iTunes. I know. Last night I was excited. I saw this podcast was new and noteworthy on iTunes. So it's right up there. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And we will be back next week with more Performance Difference Radio.
Today's show has been brought to you by the Performance Difference, dedicated to helping you achieve your business goals through employee growth. To learn more, please visit theperformancedifference.com.